Mr. Hilton, good day to you.
Bob, how are you?
Fine. Another good weekend of shows.
For you, maybe.
Yes. I have fully recovered from Austin. How about you?
It takes a couple
It
weeks,
did.
doesn't
Yeah,
it?
South by SARS really had grips on me, and but now I'm back to two and whatever shows.
Two or three shows a night.
And I, when I can do it. The other night I saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Oh, yeah, I know this band.
Yeah, from Alabama, Birmingham. I met this guy. I was on a panel with him back about 6 months ago. He's a very mild-mannered fellow, husky, really sweetheart. And he told me about this band he had. And I said, "Oh, great, I'll come see you when you come around." And then Ann Powers told us about St. Paul
Yeah,
and
she's a
the
massive fan.
right. So finally, I got to see him Saturday night. He is one incredible singer.
So that's Paul Janeway.
Yeah. He said at the concert, he said, sold out concert, by the way. He said, "Y'all know, just about a year and a half ago, I was a bank teller." And he does, and he looks just the part too. You'd imagine that.
Right,
And,
yeah.
but he has that Otis and the Sam Cooke in him. Anyway, can I play a song
Yeah,
from St. Paul
absolutely.
and the Broken Bones?
With that picture in mind of Paul Janeway, the singer.
Right, it's killer. And I'm going to play a song called "Call Me." Down on his hands and knees.
Oh, yeah, that's why you go see live music, right? I mean, I love the disconnect sometimes between you're listening to this band, you fall in love with it, and then you go and you find out that's not a woman at all. It's Asaf Avidan, you know? I mean, it's just, and then to see a performance like that.
And if that's not clear, he's a white soul singer, so, and with great white shoes, I might add, which will one day go on Soul of a Band. You will find that's your clue. Soul of a Band is a new feature that may begin this week, and it's going to be. I've been photographing the shoes of bands. They look at people look at me oddly, shooting the shoes of bands, and we're going to put pictures of shoes and a song, and you'll have to match the shoes with the song. Figure out, yeah.
And to be fair, you don't have to be taking pictures of shoes for people to look at you oddly, Bob.
I see. Yeah, there's that. What you got?
Well, you know, I everything I have is going to take us in a totally different direction. So I'm gonna play the music of Chad Van Galen. This is a singer and a multi-instrumentalist. He's an illustrator and an animator. A really interesting guy. He's from Alberta, Canada. And he's been releasing records for about 10 years now. And I've been following him. And I haven't ever really been completely won over him. You know, it's like he's doing interesting things, but I haven't been 100% connected to his music until this new record that he's about to release that is fantastic. It's called Shrink Dust. And it's just really, it's by far his best album yet. It's certainly his boldest, I think. And from Chad Van Galen, this song I want to play is called Where Are You?
Out of the
boom, bang.
It's kind of like walking into somebody's house and every single appliance is on. You know, the blender is going and the steam is coming out of the tea kettle and the TV's on. And
maybe that's what he did. Chad Van Galen, because he's, you know, he's never recorded. I think this is his fifth record. He's never recorded in a studio before, a proper studio before. He's always done this himself. But I love how strange and big and loud and epic that song gets. Love the urgency. You know, he's got a lot of other stuff cooking. This is an interesting guy. He's got a couple kids, and they play in bands, and he plays in the bands with them. One of them is called Crocodile Teeth and the Snugglers, and that is a hardcore punk band. And then he's got another group called Banana Bread, which I thought, you know, you're a big Banana Bread baker, Bob. I thought you might like that. He's also working on, Chad Van Galen is also working on a feature-length animated sci-fi film and companion book called Translated Log of Inhabitants. And the Shrink Dust record that's coming out is partly a soundtrack for this movie that he's making. Just a really interesting guy. Chad Van Galen, Shrink Dust is the record. And that song was Where Are You? Our intern, Faith Massey, sitting here, said that she thought the last two songs we played sound like texts from your parents or your mom. Where Are You? And what was the other one? Call Me?
Yeah, pretty much exactly the sort of messages my mom sends me.
Call Me.
Where Are You?
Where Are You?
Still in D.C., Mom.
Let's see if we continue. What's the next song you've got, Bob? Is this a text from Faith's mom?
This would be more from your psychedelic mom. I've got one called Lavender.
What would you think if your mom just sent you one that said lavender, just out of the blue? And
I don't know. Maybe a new health tip or something.
My mom might do that. That was her favorite color when we had a place.
Lavender.
Lavender was, everything was lavender in the kitchen. It was really pretty wonderful. So
when you turn on your New York accent, it just tickles me.
It just is, you know. I don't know. It got suppressed sometime when I was about 17, and every once in a while it'll just, you know, pull out of me.
Well, tell us about this next song with your accent.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm going to play something by Ray LaMontagne. And he's a...
Ray LaMontagne? I haven't heard from him in a while.
And his record's produced by Dan Auerbach.
Of the Black Keys.
Of the Black Keys. This song, at least, that I haven't heard the whole record yet, is so different than anything. I wouldn't have known it was Ray LaMontagne. In fact, when I knew it was Ray LaMontagne, I did a double check to make sure I was actually playing the right song.
Right.
It's really wonderful. I love what he says about this. You know, we get press releases and some we ignore. This one in particular caught my eye. It was a quote from Ray. He said, I felt like a kid. This is his fifth album. He says, I felt like a kid trying to collect lightning bugs. I'd catch a glimpse out of the corner of my eye and run for it, but the light would go out just as I thought I'd gotten a hold of one of them. But eventually, I caught on to their game. I'd stop chasing them altogether. Instead, I just sat there as if I were completely disinterested in them. And wouldn't you know it, one by one, they came to me, flew right into my jar. And you know, the people who, especially who can compose music in their heads, who imagine it all in their heads, it is that thing. It's elusive. Like, it's a feeling and so forth. And it's hard to then put it down and make a...
But also to be connected to the imagination of your youth that intimately, able to tell a story like that, too.
That's true. That's true. So let's play this song off of Ray LaMontagne's fifth album that comes out April 29th. The album's called Supernova, and the song is called Lavender. Or Lavender.
Learn a love.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's not so far out of his world that it doesn't sound like him. It's like alien to his sound, but it's a nice new direction for him. I think he needed that. It's good move.
I'm very excited. Ray LaMontagne, new album is called Supernova, comes out the end of April.
So, Bob, you know, every week on All Songs Considered, we have a number of features on our website, npr.org/allsongs. One of them is our weekly Monday feature, Question of the Week. And most recently on Question of the Week, we had a question about the death of a musical instrument. Does it make you sad? Does it break your heart? And this is one you came up with, right?
Yeah. I was at a Diane Clough house concert, and the cellist, her cellist, Isabel, a friend of my friend Mark's. Oh, Mark, I'm going to tell this story. You're going to hate me, but I'm going to do this anyway. And I said, oh, you know my friend Mark? He told me to say hi. She said, yeah. I was doing a concert. I was playing with Mark. Mark's also a musician. And I laid my cello down. She showed me just as she would lay her cello down alongside her chair. And she went off. And when she came back, she looked at Mark, and Mark looked at her. And Mark said to her, would you take a look at your cello? Well,
something may have happened to it while you were gone.
Meaning that he accidentally tripped over a mic stand, which landed the mic into the cello and put a big dint in it. So it's, exactly what I thought. And you know, these things are not cheap instruments. Anyway, he felt terrible. She felt, it's all devastating all around. So that's the idea of...
Yeah, and so we asked listeners to tell us, we thought, we shared it around the office. Everybody had a story. So we threw it out to our listeners, and we have the best listeners. We got a lot of great stories, some very heartbreaking stories. But there was one in particular by a listener named Randy Alberts that I want to play for us. He recorded this on our SoundCloud page and shared this with us. And it's a story. He talks about two instruments that he lost at the same time. And neither of them were particularly expensive instruments or rare instruments. You know, it's not like he lost a Stradivarius or something like that. But they meant a lot to him. And I want to share Randy's story. This is from Randy Alberts telling us about a couple of instruments that he lost. One was a synthesizer, a homemade synthesizer, and the other one was a guitar.
My mother, who taught me how to play and gave me that guitar for my 16th birthday, had to constantly defend my interest in music against my father, who thought I wasted way too much time learning to play it. This caused a lot of stress in our family back then. Sometimes the two of them would even be yelling at one another over me. Cowered between them on our couch as I played, my father thinking it's a waste of time, my mother defending it. So I always thanked Mom for showing me how to play and standing up for me all those times when Dad didn't approve. When I bought the synthesizer kit in 1975, I had no idea how to solder or connect all the wires. So I asked my father to help me build it, and that changed everything between us. So there was my ultra-conservative dad still wearing his Navy regulation buzz cut, and me, a young hippie with hair halfway down my back, the two of us elbow to elbow as he taught me how to lay down some aerospace-quality solder joints. He hated the Emerson, Lake & Palmer tapes I played while we worked, but I could see that he totally dug that for the first time we were finally building something together. And it was building more than just a synthesizer, of course. A couple of years later after that, I threw that guitar and synthesizer, along with everything else I owned, into my 64 VW bus and moved from LA to Colorado. By the time I got to southern Utah, my bus broke down and I was stranded in a total whiteout. Luckily, somebody stopped to pick me up and drove me on to the next town, where I hired a tow truck driver to go back for the bus. But by the time we found it in all that snow, someone had broken in and stolen most of my stuff, including, of course, that guitar and that synthesizer. It looked like they had thrashed them around, too, like they first had their fun defacing each before stealing them along with my car stereo, cassette tapes, and, the rest of my stuff. Scattered about the floor of that empty bus were the tiny remains of those two instruments that I love so much. Several of the synth's black knobs, they'd broken off somewhere on the ground outside the bus, dotting the white snow. I was just totally crestfallen, standing there in that storm with that tow truck driver and thinking of my father and all the time we'd spent soldering that synth together bonding for the first time over that workbench 2 years before. And I also saw there were also little splinters of wood all around, and even one of the tuning pegs from my guitar on the floor. That was all I had left from that cheap beginner's guitar, to remember how my mother had first introduced me to playing it, standing up for me all of those times. So 50 years on, and I'm still playing guitars and synthesizers, so I'll always have my late mother and father to thank for that first guitar and synthesizer.
Oh, man. Randy Alberts, I'm getting choked up again hearing that story.
It's so heartbreaking. I mean, you could rebuy the synth, you could rebuy the guitar, but they're not the same.
No, and that's the thing about instruments, you know, they feel alive. They feel like this presence in your life, you know, more than like if a hurricane comes through and you lose a kitchen table or something like that, right?
Yeah, a favorite question to ask musicians if you're an interviewer and don't know what to ask them is ask them about the instrument they hold. There's usually something good there.
Well, I'm going to play a song. This one's for Randy Albertson. This is by a singer named Lila Foy. She is from London. She just put out her debut record called Mirrors in the Sky on Sub Pop. And this song has a little bit of the worlds of sound that I imagine Randy was maybe making with his instruments. The song from Lila Foy is called Honeymoon. Love the sounds on this record, Lila Foy. You know, I think it's Kate Bush, crossed with a little postal service. Can you hear it in her voice?
I totally hear both those things.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, very nice. I this record came in. I got an early copy of it a couple months ago and immediately fell in love with it from the opening notes and sounds. And Mirrors in the Sky, Lila Foy, L-Y-L-A is her first name, and Foy, F-O-Y, Lila Foy. That song was Honeymoon from Mirrors in the Sky.
I'm going to play something from First Aid Kit. The two sisters, Clara and Joanna Soderberg. The new record, as was the last record they did, were both produced by Mike Mogis of Bright Eyes fame, with arrangements by Nate Walcott. Nate Walcott, we also know from Bright Eyes, Broken Bells, Rilo Kiley, or a few of his projects, did the arrangements on the record. It's a much bigger sound. It's a much fuller sound than anything they've done. They are Swedish, but they could have come from Omaha. The new record's called Stay Gold. I'm going to play a song off that record called My Silver Lining.
I don't want to wait anymore. I'm tired of looking for answers. Take me someplace where there's music and there's laughter. I don't know if I'm scared of dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, I've gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice calling out for me. These shackles I made in a town to be free. Be it for reason, be it for love, I won't take the easy road. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh. Something good comes with the bad. A song's never just sad. There's hope, there's a silver light. Show me my silver light. Show me my silver light. I hear a voice calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town to be free.
They're Swedish?
Indeed.
Yeah, you weren't kidding when you said that they're Swedish, but it sounded like they could be from Omaha.
No kidding. I mean,
it's almost like they're trying to affect the act. It's so perfectly done, you know?
I'm always amazed at how that happens with musicians, what happens to accents, mm-hmm. and the music that you grow up on becomes how you say it. So right. many, many countries and many, many people who have what we think of as accents, because we don't have accents, it would be, have a very neutral, as we would call it, neutral accent, right? Very American accent. Mm. I remember when they traveled, because they're really young, when they first started doing music, First Aid Kit, they came to a tiny desk and their dad was with them. And I said, you really must have raised them well on like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and Emmylou Harris. And he said, I played Television and Ramones. And they were, so this is kind of like, almost in some ways, it sounded like they were rebelling against right. the punk that he loved when he grew up.
Yeah. Did he seem incredulous? Like, what happened to my two beautiful daughters?
No, it was so incredibly sweet. He was touring with them. I think he produced He produced some of their early records and stuff,
okay.
too. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, indeed. First Aid Kit, new record, which is called Stay Gold, comes out June the 10th.
I'm going to take us out on a song that doesn't have any lyrics in it. It's an instrumental piece by an artist named Teebs. He's an electronic music producer and composer. He's from Southern California. Teebs has a style of production that's been often called beat music, which involves recording all of these percussive sounds and then altering them. So he'll have like a drum tap or a shaker sound like that, but he'll also record the sound of change, of coins falling on a table or of tape being pulled off of a, you know, like scotch tape or something, or a microwave door slamming shut. And then he manipulates these sounds and turns them into these wonderful electronic pieces. He has a new record coming out. Has elements of that, but also just these glorious ambient textures, little rustling sounds that go on behind the music, and these little curious textures. Great, great music to get lost in. The new record is called Estara. We're doing a first listen on it right now. So if you like this, you can go on to NPR Music's website and listen to the whole record. But the song I'm going to play from Teebs is called Shoes Lullaby.
Beautiful.
You're getting ready to go to New York, aren't you?
Just a quick trip.
What's going on up there?
Jim Jarmusch has a new film, and there's going to be a preview. And then Yasmin Hamdan, who is a woman we featured on the show around Global Fest. And
oh, right.
Anastasia and I were talking about her on Morning Edition, mm-hmm. is going to play because she has a key scene in that movie. So I'm really eager to see that.
Oh, nice. So is she playing at the film showing?
Yeah. Well, they're doing a party. I'm going I'm going to New York for a party, but I'm looking forward. It's a whole bunch of music, and I assume Jim's band Squirrel is going
to
play.
That would be really awesome to see that. So, well, you'll have to tell me when you get back from New York.
Well, indeed.
Thanks, Bob.
This is
Teebs. The song is Shoes Lullaby from Estara.
From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Hello.
Hey.
Bob, I thought you were on. I thought you were going to New York.
I am. Actually, I'm on a train. We haven't published a show yet, right?
No, I was. I was about to.
Oh, great! Hold it. We got a new Jack White song. We tacked this on at the end. It's amazing.
Jack White, a new Jack White song.
New Jack White song. It's called Highball Stepper. It's from an album coming out called Lazaretto. It comes out June 10th in the U.S. The song is instrumental. The guitar is insane. And can we just put it on the end of the show here?
Absolutely.
Phone might cut out in a second. I got to run. Have fun. It's amazing.
Highball Stepper from Jack White. Awesome. Let's hear it.
All right. See ya.
All right. Take care.